Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Honored to speak with so many incredible members of the U.S. military and to wish all of you a very happy Thanksgiving. Before we begin, I want to express the anguish and the horror of our entire nation at the terrorist attack yesterday in our nation's capital, in which a savage monster gunned down two service members in the West Virginia National Guard who were deployed as part of the D.C. task force.
Yeah, this story, it continues to become worse and worse. It's an atrocity. Just as a note, if you ever hear me talking about bad news, I distinguish between tragedies and atrocities. A tragedy is something bad that just kind of happens, like a hurricane or a tornado or an earthquake or a building collapse. An atrocity is something that is done deliberately. This was an atrocity. This was an evil act. And I think sometimes we marginalize the severity of realizing what human evil can do when we call it a tragedy because it focuses only on the suffering and not on the perpetrator, which I think both are important. And in this case, you know, this guy who drove all the way across from Washington State to come try to murder guardsmen, apparently, you know, we still don't know motive, but apparently, you know, there's no other way to describe what he did.
He has done such an incredible job. I mean, until yesterday, we literally had no incidents for many months. It was the safest place imaginable, and this is a different kind of crime. This is a really bad crime.
Yeah, and just as a note, as a fact matter, that's not true. We talked about this yesterday. There have been, 24 homicides since the Guard were deployed in D.C. on August 21st. There have been 62 in the last 6 months. So the claim by Trump that there's been no crime after he deployed the Guard is just factually false, but none of that really matters in comparison with what did happen in this particular incident.
Millions of Americans are praying for those heroes and their families. And I must unfortunately tell you that just seconds before I went on, right now, I heard that Sarah Beckstrom of West Virginia, one of the guardsmen that we're talking about, highly respected, young, magnificent person, started service in June of 2023. Outstanding in every way, she's just passed away. Mm. She's no longer with us. She's looking down at us right now. Her parents are with her. It's just happened. She was savagely attacked. She's dead. She's not with us. Incredible person. Outstanding in every single way, in every department. That's horrible.
It is horrible. And the other guardsman is still struggling for his life, apparently. So it's the worst possible outcome. And, you know, at the holidays and with everything else that's going on, of course, the Trump administration has now vowed to reinvestigate basically all of the Afghan visas for, they're doing everything. You know, we told you yesterday that, and I know not everybody listens on Thanksgiving, not even everybody listens on Black Friday. But, you know, we are here and doing the news. And of course, and, he's the people from Haiti, Haitian refugees are going to all be denied their TPS status or temporary protective status. They're going to all be basically required to go back to Haiti. There's 350,000, I think, is the number. It's what I have in my head. I think that's about right. Meanwhile, the people who were brought here under the Biden administration after the collapse of Afghanistan and our withdrawal, they're going to review all of those folks and review all of their documentation. Now, one of the things that got said yesterday by Kash Patel, the FBI director, unless they produce documentation to prove that in this case it's accurate, was false. Because everybody who came here from Afghanistan under the program, they were vetted. They would have had biometrics like fingerprints and, you know, iris, your eye information. He was he worked in some capacity with the CIA, so he was a collaborator with us, came here in 2021, applied for asylum in 2024 under Biden and was granted it under Trump in April of this year. And, you know, as people yesterday were pointing out, somebody could have passed the screening 4 years ago, but maybe fail it today, or people can lie. You know, I mean, it does happen. But, you know, none of this is a perfect system. And of course, it's going to bring scrutiny against everybody who came here as a part of, you know, that program and, you know, who collaborated with us. The most common version of this you hear about is the translators, right? But, you know, guides and go-betweens and all kinds of folks who worked with us when we were in Afghanistan and then were rightly afraid of being killed by the Taliban when the collapse happened. And so most of them love this country. The vast majority of them love this country. But there are going to be, we know there's one, and there may be others, and that's the concern, who are willing to do evil. And we still don't, again, know why, but of course we have to presume, as the president's called it, an act of terrorism, and, you know, that it wasn't just, nobody drives from Washington to Washington, D.C. to randomly shoot members of the National Guard, unless their motive is, you know, political in some sense. So it's just an awful thing. 5:15 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. We had some football yesterday, and the bad thing happened in the Lions game, and the good thing happened in the Cowboys game, if you're a Cowboys fan. Do you know? Do you know the history of why Detroit always plays, and now why the Cowboys always play?
No, I don't.
So
I think I missed that.
Yeah, it's the Lions always play because the original team for the Lions existed in a very small market on the East Coast, and the owner of WLS, major, you know, historical radio station, huge radio, not WLS. What is the name of it? It's right out of my head. I should know this being from Detroit, but I left when I was 9, so I got out early. but the guy who bought the Lions and relocated them to Detroit, WRL, was the owner of the radio station, and so he's big on promotions. And he basically said, well, nobody's coming to our games. Let's do a game on Thanksgiving, and it'll be a treat. And everybody thought they wouldn't make any money doing this, that nobody would come to these games. But instead, you know, it was pretty WJR. I don't know what I said before. Anyway, WJR is the name of the station in Detroit. So they brought it, they did the game, and it was a big success. And he actually had convinced the national radio networks to carry the game, and they did. And, you know, people loved it. And so ever since, that's been their thing.
That's interesting.
And Cowboys sort of similarly, you know, back in the 70s and, you know, the 60s, you know, Cowboys weren't really, sorry, in the 60s, really, Cowboys weren't like this national brand like they are today. So Thanksgiving 1966, in an effort to promote the Cowboys, Tex Schramm, the general manager, who also created the cheerleaders, he thought, you know, our kind of struggling team that's got this new head coach, Tom Landry, you know, whoever he is.
Let's try to get
them some attention. And so he signed the Cowboys up for the second game, you know, even though the NFL, again, worried that the, you know, fans wouldn't show. Well, they did, broke its record attendance at 80,000 at the time. So, you know,
this
turned out to be a good thing. The other teams, there's three games always, and the other teams are, I think, just rotating. There's no particular rhyme or reason to it, but always the Cowboys now, and for a long time, always the Lions. The highlight for me, I don't know, John, if you watched all the games, I did not watch the third game because I didn't care.
No, I fell asleep for the third
Ravens Bengals, is that who it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Bengals actually won.
I heard. It's just, you know.
I was like, wow.
Joe Burrow's back, baby.
He's back.
But the fun, to me, the real treat, aside from the fact that the Lions lost, which made me very unhappy, but it was the halftime show for the Lions and the Packers game. So it's in Detroit, and you got Jack White, the lead singer, one of the key people in White Stripes, is performing. He's from Detroit. And I was loving it. And then... Oh, it's so good. I can't believe you don't like White Stripes, John. What's wrong with you?
Well, now I'm interested. Does Eminem sing on the song?
Would you let the thing happen? It's coming. Trust the producer. So he's just performing, and then... Oh, wait, what?
Ladies and gentlemen, Detroit's own Eminem.
Oh, yeah. I was loving this halftime show, and I'm like, this is the best thing that happened on yesterday. This was, and people were like, yeah, we should have had this guy design the Super Bowl. Apparently, you know who produced the show?
Who?
Eminem.
Wow.
As I read one thing, 90% sure, I read one thing that said that Eminem produced it. And of course, they played the song that everybody knows. Oh, yeah. And the crowd's crazy, loving it. So, yeah, if the Super Bowl halftime show is a bust this year in Spanish with Bad Bunny, or if people decide to watch the Turning Point USA counter event, well, you had your Lions-Packers game. You had your three-song set with the Dallas Cowboys. Or no, that was later. I was thinking, but you know.
Post Malone, Dallas Cowboys game.
Oh, okay. My recorder screwed up and I didn't get the halftime show. Was it good?
Yeah, it was actually really good.
Oh, okay. All right. I am... I know so little about Post Malone, except that he changed his brand significantly from the beginning.
Right.
And, you know, now he is what he is. 520 on News. I'll just put it that way. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Yes, we're live today. Every day except Christmas. Every day except Christmas. Learn it. It's like a formula. Every day except Christmas.
I had to explain that to people yesterday.
Really?
They were like, huh?
Why are you on the air?
Right.
Because this is what we do. I mean, you know, people work. I mean... all of the NFL officials worked. All the concession stand worked. You know, the broadcasters worked. I mean, police and fire and nurses and, you know, they work. I mean, EMS works. I mean, lots of people work on the holidays. People act like it's so much. Grocery Advantage was open yesterday. I had remembered after I left. I'm like, oh, I think maybe Grocery Advantage is open where I can get my milk.
Yes.
And they were, in fact, open yesterday. And I think I remember that they had, and they were packed. I mean, 3 to 4 times as many cars as normal.
Wow.
Understandably. They close at 4. But, you know, everybody else missed out. I get why we don't want to make it so that everybody's working. It's nice to be able to give a lot of people the day off. But also, you know, I'm sure the people who were making money working didn't hate making money working. You know, I don't mind making the money working. And, you know, somebody's got to make the donuts. The radio donuts, the TV donuts, the fire and police donuts, especially the police donuts. 437-1620. Hey, if you're buying or selling a home, you want a good, competent realtor, really an outstanding one, who is going to, you know, get you all the way through to the end result, get you through to closing. That's Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. It's track record. You know, look, in the beginning when she had left TV and started doing some other stuff and building a family, and she and her husband, and I've known them a long time. I mean, they're just great folks. And she started to go into real estate. And a lot of us who knew Christina kind of thought, well, I mean, you know, a lot of people try real estate. But if anybody can do it, I mean, she can. But, you know, a lot of people try real estate and they get to some level of success. And then I watched her with her number of home sales over the years. I'm like, holy smokes. I mean, this is amazing. In the height of the market, she was selling, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, she and her team were selling well over 200 homes a year. Now it's about 165 that last year, 175 the year before that. So 3 to 4 a week. It's still a lot. I mean, it's still numbers that most realtors would love to have. But it's still a lot. And the difference is, you know, when the market's slower, it takes, you know, more skill. And sometimes people don't even get their home sold. People come to her. Sometimes she's told me after having had a realtor or two or five, I mean, it's just, it's crazy. So, and they get the home sold, and it's not a big deal. But anyway, if you want to get your home sold or you're buying one or both, 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
If a Lenovo computer for your business is on your holiday list, don't shop around. Just go directly to the source, Lenovo.com. You'll find exclusive deals on the PCs you want for your business, like the ThinkPad X9 14 Aura Edition and Yoga 7i 2-in-1. So avoid all that shopping chaos and price comparing and just go directly to the source, Lenovo.com, where PCs are up to 50% off. That's Lenovo.com. Lenovo, Lenovo.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately. Like insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage, to companies not doing the job they said they were going to do. Make sure you tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today, as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620. Welcome back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or bird seed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19. But if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
You know, I'm always extra impressed by somebody who can have a great career as part of a massive, mega successful band like Cream, and then also have a mega successful solo career.
It's talent.
It really is.
You know, you see it.
I mean, think of like, you know, the Beatles, okay? You know, they all tried.
Yeah, they did.
They did not all have equal levels of individual success, you know?
Right.
Right? Led Zeppelin, great band. Robert Plant, fantastic solo career. Not everybody had a great solo career. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. President Trump says the U.S. could take action against alleged Venezuelan drug traffickers on land soon, expanding operations that up until now have focused only on the Caribbean Sea. The president spoke yesterday as part of some Thanksgiving remarks to troops around the world. He said carrying out those actions on land would actually be far easier.
Well, and also far more thorny as a legal issue. You know, you're taking military action against a foreign nation on their soil, substantially more intricate than just out on the open water, as far as the legal perspective goes. Anyway, so go ahead, David.
And crowds could be out in force today looking for deals. Actually, did you see all the cars over at JCPenney on the way?
No, you know, I wasn't paying. I didn't drive through. I usually whiz through there on my way to work, and I did not. Was it packed this morning?
No, there was quite a few people.
Academy
in the
is always
lot.
A big draw.
Yep. Yeah, that whole shopping center over there. When I pulled in, there was like a line of 7 or 8 cars that pulled in front of me. I'm like, there's never this many people
right,
out. What's
right.
going on? And then I remembered.
Oh, yeah.
There's that little thing that happens the day after Thanksgiving. But the National Retail Federation is predicting nearly 187 million people will be shopping between now and Cyber Monday. That's, they say, 3 million more than last year.
The only shopping I got is my typical Friday grocery shopping. that's all I got going for me today.
Well, we know you're good on milk now.
Oh, so. Yeah, no, that's right. We are.
That is.
We're good on
right.
milk. That's right. Thanks, David.
Anytime.
Thanks for the personal attention. I appreciate that. 527 on News Radio 92.3. I know David had mentioned earlier in the day that we had a whole bunch of meals, 1,700 meals served by Waterfront. Outstanding. Of course, they do this all the time, and it's just, you know, it's amazing what they do. Meanwhile, we got 63-year-old Gwendolyn Brown has been arrested after she tried to rob the Ensley branch of Regions Bank on Nine Mile Road just before noon. This is on Wednesday. She goes in and she says, you know, give me money. And they gave her a bag with money, but then the teller took the bag back. I'd love to see this video. Like, give me your money. Here it is. Nah, second thought.
Nope.
She didn't even get out of the bank and got arrested. I mean, that's either fantastic response time
or
I don't know. Was she dawdling? I'm not quite sure what happened. So, good work. Meanwhile, Campbell's has fired their executive, you know, the one who was caught on that very weird audio recording talking about how, you know, all of their some of the stuff he said, I mean, most of it I can't say on the air, but he said, we have bleep for bleeping poor people. Who buys our bleep? I don't buy Campbell's products barely anymore. Bioengineered meat. I don't want to eat a piece of chicken that came from a 3D printer, the voice says. And then bleeping Indians, they don't know a bleeping thing. They couldn't think for their bleeping selves. First of all, I mean, bro, learn how to speak. Anyway, second, so you got racism, you got you know, classism against poor people. You got the claims about bioengineered meat, which Campbell's has come out with a statement like, no, you know, we're thankful for the millions of people who buy and enjoy our products, and we're honored for the trust they put in us. We are proud of the food we make, the people who make it, and the high-quality ingredients we use to provide consumers with good food at a good value. I've been eating Campbell's chicken noodle soup my whole life. That's my taste like mom food when I'm sick.
Oh, yes.
It's not the best
for sure.
It's not the best chicken noodle soup on the market, but it's the one that tastes like what mom made. And that's all it needs to do. You know, I don't know whether Verner's is the best ginger ale on the market. I don't care. It tastes like what mom gave me in stale saltines. I mean, that's your formula. When you're sick, I need these three things. You know,
saltines.
Don't give me Progresso. You're trying to do like nourish me? No.
Yeah.
Give me some watered down canned based chicken noodle soup. And do not care if it came from a bird or from the 3D printer. It tastes the way it tastes, the right way. Not the good way, just the way it's supposed to taste. By the way, Campbell, you know, this notion that Campbell's is the knockoff. Campbell, you know, there's the generic cream of mushroom soup.
Right.
It's usually like half the price. What is a can of just regular old price cream of mushroom soup? It's probably about $2.
Yeah, it is.
You know. Almost too much for your green bean casserole. But not really, because you got to have it on your pot roast. I mean, these are the things you need it for. So it's not the knockoff. The imitation generic stuff is the knockoff. So I just don't know what he was talking about. I think he probably wanted to get fired.
I'm Gianna DeLosi. One of two National Guard members shot just blocks from the White House died Thursday.
President Trump announcing he will permanently ban migration from the third world to allow the U.S. system to fully recover. This comes after 20-year-old National Guard Specialist Sarah Beckstrom died Thursday after being shot by an Afghan national near the White House. 24-year-old Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf, who was also attacked, is currently fighting for his life.
That's Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer. The suspect once served in an anti-Taliban force supported by the CIA. A fleet of UPS planes grounded following a deadly crash is not expected to be back in service during the peak holiday season.
According to an internal memo, the UPS planes still have to undergo inspections and possible repairs. A UPS spokesperson says the company will rely on contingency plans to deliver for customers.
That's Fox's Angelo Bavaro. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, it's a bit of a chilly start to our morning. We're at 39 degrees here around the area with clear skies this morning. Of course, we'll get to our forecast in just a few minutes. Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves raising a few concerns about a big rise in crashes at 14th and Gregory. That's right there at the bottom of the 3 Mile Bridge. The mayor says removing the old traffic light there improved flow, but it also sped things up.
It's almost like if you were playing a simulation game where you took out a red light and you put in an overpass, then what's going to happen? Everyone's going to speed up.
And the mayor says that the area's already seen about 22 crashes. And that's just this year, surpassing the last 3 years. He's planning to ask FDOT's traffic engineers to review the intersection and consider different options to either slow vehicles down or to limit access from 14th Avenue. Two men are in critical condition after an armed dispute in Escambia County turned violent yesterday. That shooting happened near Tate Road and Dolphin Road in Cantonment following an argument between the two men. Both men reportedly fired shots, leaving each other critically injured. One man was airlifted to the hospital by helicopter, the other taken by ambulance. Escambia Sheriff's Office is investigating. So far, they've not released a lot of details about what started the argument or the circumstances surrounding the shootout. No arrests have been made as of yet. Authorities are still working to determine exactly what happened. More than 2,000 people laced up their running shoes yesterday for Pensacola Beach's Turkey Trot, raising more than $35,000 for brain cancer research at Duke University. The race is personal for a lot of participants. Linda Fong tells Channel 3 she ran to celebrate her mom, who recently beat cancer. The fundraiser started 15 years ago after a friend and the co-founder of a local company died from the disease. Brain cancer kills more than 18,000 Americans every year with a survival rate of just over 30%. Participants say the day was all about supporting a great cause while having fun together. Well, the Optimist Club Christmas Tree Lot is officially open for the season. Lisa Newell with the Golf Breeze News says it's more than just a tradition. It's a big fundraiser which supports youth programs across the community.
They do so much good in our community. All the money stays right here, all dedicated to youth programs.
And fresh cut trees, she says, are already in. Newell said they're known for their quality and, of course, that classic Christmas smell. It is 534 News Radio 92.3. Taking a quick look at the temperatures. We've got 37 degrees with clear skies across the area. A little bit chilly start to our morning here, but it will warm up, looking for a high of around 60 later today. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. Now let's get a look at our pre-opening market report.
I'm Frank Miller with Your Money Now. Well, package delivery giant UPS is indefinitely grounding its fleet of MD-11 airplanes following a fatal crash back in early November that killed 14 people. The grounding is reportedly due to inspections and potential repairs that may be required to meet Federal Aviation Administration guidelines. That process expected to take several months. UPS says it'll use contingency plans to ensure customer deliveries during the season while also prioritizing the safety of its aircraft. And tech giant Apple is expected to surpass Samsung as the world's leading smartphone seller in 2025 for the first time in over a decade. That's according to a Counterpoint research report. That's driven by an expected 10% year-over-year increase in iPhone shipments, also fueled by demand for the iPhone 17. Apple's market share is expected to reach over 19% this year. Samsung's is expected to decline to 18.7%. Apple's expected to maintain its lead through 2029. On Wall Street, stock futures peaking a little bit higher ahead of a short Black Friday session, and that's Your Money Now.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Sky, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Sky, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Running a business is tough, but getting connected shouldn't be. Data Revolution is making it easy with free installation of phones and network upgrades. Whether you're opening a new office or upgrading your current setup, our expert team handles everything fast, reliably, and with zero installation fees. Search Data Revolution today to schedule your free installation and see our over 70 five-star reviews. Data Revolution is helping your business stay connected.
I'm Andrew McKay from the Pensacola Morning News, thanking you for helping us fill the Mayflower.
Hey, this is Chris Bryan from Pensacola Right Now. Just want to thank you, Pensacola, for helping us to fill the Mayflower.
I'm Dee Dee Flounlacker from Mana Food Pantries, and we have had a great day today, raising nearly 50,000 healthy meals for this community. Thank you to everyone.
Thanks for filling the Mayflower!
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
I did want to make one quick announcement before we adjourn. This is my seventh year. My term will come up next year. I got 1 year left in the term, and I've made a decision that I will not seek re-election at the end of that term.
I had the same reaction that Tenney Day Broughton had. No! Jared Moore is so good. Mayor D.C. Reeves is on the line with us. And now it's a weird time. We just got our schedules confused earlier. But Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. Big announcement yesterday.
Yeah, I know. I had the same reaction you did and she did. Jared has been, a friend that I've learned a lot from. When you're new into city government, it's nice to have someone you can trust that certainly puts the community first in every decision and that he's made before I was here and certainly while I've been here. And as I said at the press conference, you know, I really think he set the standard of what you hope to have when somebody represents a city, which is convictions and beliefs in that are good for the community, but also in disagreement it was always handled diplomatically and always handled collaboratively. How do we get to yes, and how do we do something good for the community? And that's rare, and it was certainly appreciated.
You know, I've been kind of saying this all morning that, you know, I would trust Jared with my money, with my kids. You know, I trust him. And to the point where, like, you know, most people come and tell you, hey, the sky is green. You're like, come on. If Jared Moore told me the sky was green, I'd be like, well, I haven't checked this hour. You know, it probably is.
That's right.
That's just, you know, an honorable person. I wanted to talk with you about this. This 9th and Creighton development, which, of course, has been in the works. It was going to originally be – it got a rezoning approved because it was going to be an Aldi over the objection of the neighbors, and now it's going to be a Circle K. And, of course, people are even more upset. I think you and I have talked about this. I know I've talked about it on air with some other people, but I've never understood why we can't do development plan contingent zoning approvals where – you've got this zoning change approval for 2 years for this project, and if this project doesn't materialize, the zoning reverts.
It's a good question, and it's certainly, I can tell you, it's one that we have been asking, and hopefully we can get something a little more modernized. Within state law, that's always the big question,
right?
What you can and can't do from a legal perspective. But as we've gone through our land development code, you know, certainly this is, we're going to have different examples throughout the years of things that seem to make a lot of common sense that maybe aren't in our code or haven't been. That's why we do it, is to go through those things. And certainly I'm disappointed, you know, and I think I certainly don't have a whole lot of sympathy for the change in plan, other than I do think it is important to point out that between the proposal and the development, Aldi was bought by Winn-Dixie, which, of course, there's a Winn-Dixie, a couple thousand feet away.
Yeah.
So in defense of the notion that, you know, they just were making that up and then just decided to not do it, there were other outside circumstances that certainly caused that. Nonetheless, that, you know, certainly as a neighbor and as someone who, is very passionate about hoping that the city can do what we say we're going to do, and we did in this case. But to your point, we're pretty limited on what we can do in this scenario. And if there is any hope for the future that can be changed, because of course your idea makes all the sense in the world, right? Hey, you promise you're going to do this. We can hold your feet to the fire. We do that in leases. We do that in contracts. We do that in all sorts of different contingencies.
Right.
If we were to donate a building at Baptist, we would say, we'll donate it to you so long as you do this, this, and this.
Right.
And so, it can be done. And just unfortunately, be it archaic code, state law, or otherwise, I'd have to get the expert on. That hasn't been something that we could have as much teeth in this particular case.
I just know that every time we have rezoning hearings, this is the problem that legislators or the board complains about is, well, we like this project, but we don't like what could happen if we approve the zoning that makes this project lawful in that zone, and we'd like to limit against that. Well, I mean, good Lord, why should we be stuck with the box? It's all or nothing for the box. Why can't it just be the one piece? And, I mean, I get all the spot zoning concerns, all that kind of stuff, but it just – there's got to be a way to approve the thing we like that is the exception without having to embrace all of the horrible stuff that comes with making that exception. That's – and, you know, anyway, so
– exactly. And listen, if government made perfect logical sense, then I'd probably have less gray hair than I have right now, and things would move faster. Because I've been in it for 3 years doesn't mean I can't zoom out and realize, that there's some critical thinking that can certainly be done. And if there's anything that the city can control in that, we absolutely will take a look.
And as you say, I mean, look, Eastgate Plaza is, I mean, literally a block over, and, you know, they're going to get an Aldi. And by the way, though, I think it's bad for the neighbors. It's actually a really good location for a gas station. I made the point yesterday that there's not
gas
real close by there anywhere, which is kind of interesting. I mentioned this the other day. There's a story in Florida, Phoenix, about the county commissioners in some of the counties that were lambasted by Governor DeSantis and I think Blazing Goalie, if I remember correctly, that for their Doge failures and wasting all this money. Of course, we got lumped into that for a variety of things. at the time, you responded that these criticisms don't make sense and or with the Sanger, they're completely false. But let's wait and see what the final report says. And I said, okay, give the receipts. Show me the final report. It's been a month, 2 months. Have we actually seen the investigative results from the Florida Doge so-called expose?
We have not. And what we continue to do is do our jobs for 55,000 citizens, as we did before, during, and after. And you know, when something hits my desk, we'll take a look and assess from there. But as of now, we have not seen a report, nor even really heard any follow-up in at least a month, if not more.
All right. So they threw the bomb. They did a press conference. It got all the headlines, and there's been no substantiation whatsoever. Cool. turning to other matters. This is actually really neat. You and I were talking off the air before you came on this morning, and we were talking about you were at Amelia Island for, is it the Rodell Institute? Is that what it was?
Yeah. It's really cool. You get invited as a cohort of 24 people, and it's 12 Republicans, 12 Democrats that are only local and state, no congressional, federal folks throughout the United States. And so, for example, my class has the Attorney General from New Mexico and Massachusetts. It's got a state House member in California, in Hawaii. And then there's, you know, Ohio, and actually several mayors, including Mayor Lily Wu from Wichita, obviously had a difficult year of tragedy with the plane crash in Washington, D.C. that came from Wichita. And then the mayor of Louisville, who is a friend, and also going through, you know, something similar. So, but the point of it is not, we don't debate hot button issues against Republicans and Democrats. The whole idea is we do readings. We reread the Declaration of Independence, and we talk about it and what does it mean in today's society, and how, you know, just
cool.
What's really cool is it's the whole idea is that you can be human beings that can be diametrically opposed on issues, but you're real people, and that's really the big takeaway. So it's learning and trying to teach all of our elected officials around the country about, you know, how we can try to do a better job of working together. And I would think probably no better time. They've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
Probably no better time to be in a class than right now, given what's going on and what our rhetoric is as a nation right now.
Man, I love the idea. I've not heard of this before, or at least if I had, I've forgotten. But that sounds like a wonderful thing. I love reading some of the original documents, thinking about the foundations of the country, and especially learning how to talk to people who generally don't see things our way. And, you know, the challenge, I'm sure you experienced this, but the challenge isn't so much that we have different facts, although sometimes that's the problem. The challenge is that we're operating from different paradigms, value sets, and hierarchies. And so, you know, the Republicans tend to talk in language that persuades Republicans, and Democrats tend to talk in language that persuades Democrats. And so we talk past each other because we're not addressing each other's worldviews and value systems, which is, you know, you can't persuade somebody from your value system. You've got to persuade them from their value system. And so learning how to understand theirs enough to talk within it fluently is vital, right?
Exactly. And that's what's cool. I mean, we basically lock ourselves in a room for a weekend. We meet for 8 hours. And again, we have hundreds of pages of pre-reading to do, all sorts of things. And that's what's cool is you actually see how people's minds work who don't necessarily agree with you, where if you read it on a Facebook comment or on a YouTube video, you dismiss it, but when you're actually sitting down with some intentionality and hearing people coming from where they're coming from, geographically even, you know, challenges that we wouldn't even think about here, you know, and you might say, hey, I still disagree with that, but I can totally understand now where that might come from, even if I disagree. And so it's pretty powerful, and it you know, really resonated with me. And it's, you know, it gives you kind of a punch list coming back here, working with people you agree with or disagree with. And so, you know, it was very cool. I got to do it's basically three meetings every 3 years, locking yourselves in, on a weekend and meeting together. And so we got one more in August, in Denver. And but it's an invite only thing. Certainly honored to be part of it. And it was a very cool experience.
I love it. I mean, it's, you know, it reminds me of something I don't probably say often enough on the radio, but the first rule of disagreement is agreement. Like, the first thing you should do when you find yourself in a debate with somebody is establish your common ground. You know, talk about, you know, oh, here's where we agree. It, first of all, it's disarming. Second of all, it's just like good philosophy to think about where you actually agree and you can build from there. Last thing for you for today, Mayor, is you talked a little bit about it yesterday, but I wanted to follow up. You were talking about 14th Avenue and Gregory and talking to FDOT about maybe closing off that intersection to 14th because of the turning and the rate of speed of people coming off the bridge. But this is separate from 9th and Gregory, where we've had all the red light runners, right? This is a different issue?
That's correct. This is right when you come off the bridge, the Fremont Bridge, northbound, kind of the overpass there. We've just seen an alarming trajectory of accidents coming off there. And listen, to put it simplistically, it's almost like if you were playing a simulation game where you took out a red light and you put in an overpass, well, then what's going to happen? Well, everyone's going to speed up. And so, again, I don't think anybody did anything wrong. I don't think FDOT's, not living up to what they're trying to do and making the road safe. But I think that's the natural progression of when you used to have a light there. And I think we all agree that that light being gone from a traffic flow standpoint, it has been very positive and valuable. That being said, what's the unintended consequence? I think there's a lot of speed that's coming off that bridge, we're seeing it in terms of accidents. And I think we beat our last 3 years already through this year significantly. I think it was something like 22 accidents in that area. So it's alarming for us. And so what I'm really going to do is just reach out to FDOT and say, hey, here are our numbers. And, they're the traffic engineers. And certainly we've got good ones around here, too. But so I'm not trying to, pigeonhole a specific solution. As I joked, I'm, an amateur traffic engineer now for a few years. But something needs to be done. And perhaps it's that little sliver of 14th Avenue down the hill there. I would say the first right turn on the McGuire's 5K, going down hill. Is that something that's needed, or would it be more difficult if now to make everybody going southbound on 14th have to go all the way down to the Bay Center or to 11th Avenue and cut over? Cause safety issues, like a domino effect? I don't know. And that's what I want. But I do want them to take a look at it, because we can't sit idly by with that type of crash number trajectory. We can't.
Playing Frogger experience of trying to cross that traffic at that close proximity to the bridge, and as you say, because people speed, because it's the bridge into the massively wide Gregory, all that. Now, interesting. Okay, well, I look forward to more on that, because it's I hadn't been thinking about that, and I did not know those numbers, but those are significant. We always like to end with a bit of a lightning round for you. The first question for the day is: the other day was National Name Your Computer Day. Do you name your computer, your phone, your car?
Only four-letter words in certain moments.
So choice, generic imperatives or imprecations, but not actually a name. Okay, all right, I got you.
They all have an exclamation point at the end, other times I call it computer. Yeah.
What time should Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner be? Are they at the same time?
Ooh, man. I'm kind of like a early afternoon guy. I'm like a 2:30 type of guy. Like, gives you enough time to prepare, but not like way late, and then you spend your entire day doing it. I don't know if it makes me feel like I saved time, or makes us speed up, a little faster. Yeah. I don't know.
Are you the cook for Thanksgiving?
Is there a survey you've seen? Is there a number one time?
That's pretty consistent. We had some people as early as noon. We do it more like 4 o'clock, but anywhere in that vicinity tends to be okay. Are you the cook?
Okay. No, so I came up with the idea that I'm the master turkey carver. So
you're the Clark Griswold,
nice, because it allows me to minimize my time in there in the kitchen. See, and then I can. I've been like a good solid 25 years on that.
Oh, nice. Gig, so. Your best contribution is to stay out of the way, and I appreciate that. It's good to know your place. Last
hold
one.
Hold a weapon and stay out of the way. Yeah.
Do you like to watch the parade, Thanksgiving, Rose Bowl, any parades on TV? I'm obviously you're in parades for Pensacola, but do you like to watch parades on TV?
Yeah, I like having it on in the background. I don't know that I'm a intense watcher. Maybe when Caroline was younger, but And just to see if maybe if the balloons blow away or something. But,
looking for the catastrophe.
Yeah, we keep it on the background while we're prepping.
Casual NASCAR Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade fan. All right, D.C. Reeves, he is our mayor in Pensacola. D.C., have a great Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much for coming on at a little bit different time this morning. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thank you so much. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we normally have him on at 7:40, and we just didn't connect for whatever reason, and then we did have him on at like 8:10, so it was kind of a different time frame. But obviously, really thorough interview, very interesting stuff we learned from him. If you are working on a home improvement project, if you're trying to fix something, or you build things for a living, Pensacola Hardware, great place to get advice, great place to get supplies, great place to get, you know, just expert guidance, but also a great place to do your Christmas shopping, because the very front of the store, the, I don't know, front 50 feet or so, is all housewares. It's Yeti merchandise, it's Weber grills, it's, you know, specialized cookware and cast iron skillets and just all kinds of stuff that, you know, is really, you know, all in one place and a wonderful place to go shopping for your Christmas gifts. So if you've got that hard to get for a person in your life, or it's you, you know, that's the place to get Yeti merchandise, SEC merchandise, all kinds of stuff. Anyway, Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola for 174 years.
You take care of your car, right? So why not give your auto loan some TLC? Refinance an existing loan from another institution with PennAir Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you can skip payments for the first 90 days. In addition to a better rate, you'll enjoy convenient banking and a friendly local team always ready to help. Learn more at PennAir.org/auto-refi. That's PennAir.org/auto-refi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan application submitted between October 1st and December 31st, 2025 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PENNAIR for complete details.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other show. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Call Jeff Wayne to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
This is Nikki at Wild Greg Saloon wishing you a safe holiday season. Remember, please don't drink and drive.
This is Matt Farmer from Wave Men's Health, and I'd like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hi, this is Motisha with Trustmark Bank wishing you a joyful and magical Christmas filled with love, laughter, and cherished moments.
Hey, this is Dick Appleyard from Appleyard Duncan McCall wishing everyone a wonderful holiday season, and we love working with our friends from Cat Country.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
This time I'm going to kick that football clear to the moon. Ah!
Jay Giles Band, you know, some of the other songs, they've made a lot of songs over the years. I mean, they're most famous for, you know, obviously Centerfold and Freeze Frame, but they made a lot of music for a long time. You know, some pretty good stuff. John, have you seen the story about the National Park Service and the fee changes for them?
No, there's going to be?
Oh, yeah. It does not affect us.
Oh, good.
Because we are residents of the United States. Non-residents of the United States, instead of paying what everybody else pays, will now pay significantly higher access rates for your natural. So the annual pass is $80 for U.S. residents. For anybody who's not a resident, $250.
Wow.
$250. Yeah. Single day access is what, in the $24, $25? Like, depends on the park, right? Okay. Gulf Islands, you know, mm-hmm. like that. Okay. $100 a person. $100 a person who's not a resident. Yeah, to enter the 11 most visited national parks. So this would be, I did make a list, Arcadia, Bryce Canyon, Everglades, Glacier National, Grand Canyon, Grand Teton, Rocky Mountain, Sequoia and Kings, Yellowstone, Yosemite, and Zion. We are not on this list. Also, we are not technically a national park. We are a national seashore. There's three of them. But still, as far as I know, ours isn't changing. for visitors.
Don't be surprised if they ask you for your ID.
Right, right. And also, don't be surprised if you're from Germany and you come to Yosemite and they're like, how about a Ben Franklin?
Yep.
How about five for the five people in your
Benjamin.
Car?
Benjamin.
Yeah, yep. Man, that's, wow. The theory is that they're willing to pay because they badly want to come and, you know, what's another $70 to go to a park in
But
the
if
United
we
States?
Go over to their country, we're probably yeah. going to be treated the same.
Yeah. And also, it'll increase the revenue so that you can pay for maintenance and upkeep, and which is very expensive in the national parks, and they do not pay for themselves. At least I don't believe they do generally. That's a subsidized, which is fine. You know, parks get subsidized. Anyway, interesting note, though, 100 or 250. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the shooting that unfolded just blocks from the White House Wednesday has now claimed the life of a service member of the National Guard. President Trump confirming the death of Sarah Beckstrom yesterday, calling her outstanding in every single way. The other soldier shot in that incident remains hospitalized. At least 128 people now reported dead, dozens injured after a high-rise housing complex fire in Hong Kong. Hundreds of people still unaccounted for. Firefighters have mostly extinguished that fire now. It started Wednesday afternoon, spread quickly along some bamboo scaffolding being used for renovations. Mm.
You know, oddly in that story, that's the part that caught my attention, is that they use bamboo instead of, iron, I guess, or aluminum or steel or whatever it is we use. That, I mean, it's an abundant, very sturdy material, but obviously it's flammable in a way that sort of the, normal scaffolding that we might use is not.